The last time I met up with my friend, Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright, he had just come back from one of his travels to Chile. Now, Father Timothy is an expert in Catholic-Muslim dialogue and is often called abroad for meetings and consultations. But I did notice that Chile is a destination he mentions often. When I asked him what it was that took him to Chile again and again, he told me that he's involved in the Manquehue movement. Soon afterwards, I made a search on the internet, only to discover a whole new world. Before I say any more, let me tell you that I went straight back to Father Timothy to ask him to tell me all about his work in Chile and how it all began. Actually, I said to him, let's start from the very beginning with a plain geopolitical overview of the country itself.
Chile is on the western side of South America. It's a country which is not very wide, but extremely long, several thousand kilometres in length from the bottom of South America, south end of South America, right up to the border with Peru. So it's spanning a desert through a Mediterranean climate, down through a temperate climate, down to a pretty cool temperate climate, right down in Tierra del Fuego. The political situation is that it's a democratic country, it has elections for president, it has a proper parliament, and it, to all intents and purposes, is like any Western country, and it is a very westernized country in South America. Those in South America would say that it is possibly one of the most economically developed countries in Latin America, partly because under Pinochet, they opened themselves to the economic realities of life, if you can put it that way. In other words, that they developed a free market economy, they took on a lot of importing of goods, they export a lot of copper, which earns them a certain amount of money, and have developed a very sophisticated, but largely sophisticated lifestyle. Nevertheless, they do have a whole section of their population of 16 million who are poor, living in fairly simple houses, but compared to, say, other countries in South America, they're much better off.
Is most of the population Christian, Catholic?
Yes, it would call itself a Catholic country. It would say that there are Protestant evangelical groups within the country, and there is religious freedom. In terms of other world religions, there are very, very few Muslims and very few people from other religions. So it is a Christian country from that point of view, yes.
Where exactly do you go, Father Timothy, and why?
First thing to say is that something like 35-40% of the population of Chile live in Santiago, which is a city of many million people. My links with Chile go back to the early 1980s, when a certain José Manuel Eguiguren, who at that stage was looking to found a school, had decided he wanted a Benedictine school, and he was advised to come to my monastery at Ampleforth in Yorkshire in England, because we have a big Benedictine school, and he was advised to come there to find out how a Benedictine school runs. So that was the start of my link, because I was one of the people whom the headmaster at Ampleforth at the time, Father Dominic, said he should come and talk to me, because he himself is slightly handicapped, and therefore I was the nearest person to come and talk to. And after that, we at Ampleforth used to have 2 days a year when the boys would be, in those days boys as it was, would be on retreat. And José Manuel used to come back every year for 13, 14 years to help run my house retreat.
Then, Father Timothy told me, when he ceased being abbot at Ampleforth, they asked him to go and spend 2 years with them.
I said that wasn't possible, but I would go during August, and which is their winter, of course, and I would go and help them out for Holy Week, which is what I do at the moment. Now, when I go there, what do I find, what do I do? Well, the movement itself is centred around three things. It's centred around a community life based on the rule of Benedict. It's centred around the Divine Office, which they celebrate, and it's centred around Lectio Divina, the prayerful reading of the Word of God. And over the last 20 years, they have become a very sophisticated lay organization in that they have within themselves, it's men and women, they're all lay, some are married, some are single, and they are dedicated in community to this structure of celebrating divine office, of living in community, of sharing the word of God. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that once a week, each community of about 12, 13 people will meet, and they will do Lectio, and then they'll have a little celebration afterwards. And Lectio means that they will have a text which is provided by the movement, perhaps the text of the Gospel for the Sunday, perhaps a reading which they're taking from the Rule of Benedict, linked up with the Gospels, and they will meditate on it, and they will say to themselves, what does this mean to me? Not what I think it should mean to you, but what does it actually mean to me and my life? And out of that sharing of what it means, they build a community together.
Alongside that, Father Timothy explained, they have three schools.
One in the very poor areas and two private schools, boys and girls in each, starting at the age of 3, going through to 18. And the schools have a special organisation called Tutoria. Apart from the academics that they do, they have a thing called an organisation called Tutoria, which is where the children meet up in these groups and do what one might call extracurricular activities run by members of the movement, the men or women of the movement. Let me emphasise, it's all lay. Some of these members of the movement are committed oblates, what they call, that is to say they have taken promises to the movement, all lay. They can be either married or single. And they are working in the movement schools. And what they do is that they meet up with the young and they will organise scouts, they organise service work in poor areas and things like that. On top of that, when they get to a certain age, the young, from I think it's around about 12 or 13, they can opt into Lectio groups. And so the Lectio groups start in the schools with the young people aged 12 or 13. They're optional, but they will have a weekly wet Lectio and they will go on retreat, etc.
The last time he was there, Father Timothy said, he was asked to preach at a retreat.
A weekend retreat for the ex-alumni of their schools. And there were something like 200 or 300 people at this retreat. And they'd spent the weekend together in Lectio groups, pondering their life, pondering how the Lectio was applied to them and their conversion life. So they're all developing skills as to how to read the scriptures, how the word of God can be become really important in their lives, linking it to the framework of community living as provided by the Rule of Benedict, and having a structure formed by the divine office of the church. And in my sort of humble estimation, they are the only lay group in the church which have such a sophisticated development of this. Now, let me just give you one example.
You haven't told us what the movement is called.
Oh, sorry. the movement is called the Mankewe Movement. It's named after the hill on which the first school, San Benito, was built. It's just called the Mankewe Apostolic Movement. And it's recognised by the Archbishop of Santiago, who is very enthusiastic about it. He's had them teaching in his major seminary. He was having them go around the parishes to tell the parishes what Lectio Divina was all about.
Now, if you do what I did when I first heard of the Mankewe movement and make a search on the internet, one of the first items that will come up is the property the movement has developed right down in the south of Chile called San José.
Where you go to do a period of time, rather like a retreat, an extended retreat, rather like a period of formation, a sort of novitiate, where you can go and live in community, perhaps 10 or 12 in these houses, men or women, houses for either, and where you spend your time learning about the scriptures, living community life, doing manual labour, and as a house of formation. And it is, as again I say, it's all lay, but it is something quite extraordinary. And this is in southern Chile, where it is, in winter it is pretty cold, it's not very, very hospitable, and it is, takes an awful long time to get there because it's one of the most remote parts of the country. And that is a very unique element which I've never met among any lay organisation before.
As a result of the Mankewe movement's work in schools, Father Timothy told me, it is now a key member of an international organisation for Benedictines who are involved in education.
Last year they hosted the International Conference on Benedictine Education, which bringing people from the Philippines, from Europe, from North America, from Africa, from India, to an international meeting where Benedictines, monks or nuns, or people working in Benedictine-inspired schools share their experiences. And the Mankewe movement have done a lot of work, which is another element of what they do, in researching how the rule can be applied in a school situation.
Well, it sounds as though it's been incredibly successful.
Well, it has. It's a remarkable organisation. As I say, I've been there now I've been going there for the last 5 or 6 years, and you see it developing. I teach in the classrooms. I will do a dialogue homily with the pupils, and the insights from the pupils are quite remarkable.
You always speak of your experiences in Chile with a particular light in your eyes. Mm. You obviously find it very inspiring. Mm. Why is it so special there?
The number of things I think is special. One is that I've spent 25 years of my life in teaching, and therefore to see something where you can really sense the enthusiasm for the Word of God is quite remarkable. That's not the first thing. Secondly, I'm always impressed by the fact that we're not talking about schools which are backward-looking. These are schools which are preparing young men and women, whether from the poor area or from the rich area, for a life of service in whatever form. But you're also forming young people in a way that they have a structure and an inspiration from the rule of Benedict and the love for the Word of God in a world which is modern. And there is no doubt that the modern life in Santiago it's moving towards the type of life you would have in Rome, you would have in Paris, or you'd have in London. And you've got the extremes of wealth, you've got the sophistication or the materialism that goes with that. I mean, it's all linked up with internet, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not something that's backward-looking, this is something that's very forward-looking, saying that people, the young of the future, need to have some foundation. And because they're all lay, because they're making accessible, and because they face the questions which we all face, there is a sense in which there's something very positive in what they do, and that they are successful, in inverted commas, at implanting a love for the scriptures. And I think it's this love of the scriptures which becomes part of your personal relationship with the God revealed in the scriptures, which I think is where their strength really lies.